Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We have one more hour left in this Wednesday, and I'm very excited to get to all sorts of news, including a really good piece in The Spectator. I am biased because I love The Spectator, but it's very good. It's titled The Sleepwalkers, and we're going to read that in a second. But first, just some updates here to keep you guys abreast of all the craziness going on in the world. First of all, I'm looking at Fox News, and it says airlines fear walkout over vaccine mandates. Now, keep in mind, they're pushing these vaccine mandates. Some people are already backing off this. Southwest seems to be backtracking. Other companies that, you know, have nothing to do with the airlines are realizing they might have made a mistake here. But then you couple the fact that these airlines specifically have to deal with the holiday surge of travelers. Can you say bleep show?
When is this weather going to let up?
I know. Oh, boy. When's this weather that none of us can see going to let up? Is this the new thing with climate change? It's weather that only affects Southwest Airlines. It's really bizarre. So we have that.
Settled science, Grace.
We have that to look forward to. Also, in an update here, Joe Manchin, we mentioned this earlier, but it is a big scoop. Joe Manchin tells associates he's considering leaving the Democratic Party. And he has an exit plan, and I actually think I know what that exit plan is.
Breeze, country roads, take me home to the place
I belong.
West Virginia,
Mount Mama. Okay, there's two reasons I like playing that. One is because his boat, his houseboat, if you didn't know this, Joe Manchin lives in a houseboat, which I find very endearing, but the liberal activists find it another reason to hate him and take their kayaks out and track him down and yell at him from the water. But I like it because it allows me to play that song. I also like it because Howie hates that song, and I know he's listening right now, and that makes it, you know, kind of a win-win situation. But he has an exit plan. I'm not going to get into what that is because this is all speculation, but it would be kind of a beautiful thing to see. I don't know why he didn't do this years ago. You know, he's clearly not a Democrat anymore. You know those expressions where people say, if JFK ran for president today, he'd be a conservative? That's Joe Manchin. I mean, he's living in the past. If he thinks these people who are following Democrats into bathrooms and who are showing up in their front yards, or in his case, in the water and kayaks, he's out of his mind. They're not going to change their minds. They've gone crazy, and you have to accept that and move on with your life. And I love that Joe Manchin said, listen, I was not elected to be a far left progressive. If you want these $3.5 trillion bills and these cow eliminating civilian climate core changing, policies to go through, elect more AOCs. But that's not what's happening. And I think a problem that a lot of these progressives made, because they are very full of themselves, to put it in a kind way, they think that Joe Biden getting elected was like some sort of mandate into what America wants far left agendas. And that's not true. America just, the people who voted for Biden, it's not that they wanted, green everything, or they wanted this excessive spending, or they wanted a National Pronoun Day, which is today, by the way. Happy National Pronoun Day. What they wanted was just not Trump. That's the only reason they voted for Joe Biden. It wasn't because they liked all these cuckoo ideas. And so Joe Manchin is totally in the right to hold off on this. And if he leaves, they're going to go even more insane. Now, Biden is talking about lowering the spending bill target to between $1.75 trillion and $1.9 trillion. We will get into all of this because The Spectator does mention it in the piece I want to read. But I also wanted to mention here that a medical examiner and was called to a park where investigators found Brian Laundrie's items. This is pretty rare that someone's on the run for this long, or that we, so some people think they found a body, I think, of this guy. But it's just, it's strange that it even got this far, you know, that he's managed to stay hidden. I know people keep saying, oh, he looks like so many people, he could be anyone. I don't know. I think he's pretty recognizable. He's bald. That kind of makes him stand out a little bit. But he's managed, I guess. There was all these theories on the internet about where he could be. TikTok, you know, the internet sleuths, they're going crazy. So I think it would be good if we could all, you know, put an end to this. And on a serious note for Gabby Petito's family, but also so these internet sleuths will chill out, because people get way too invested. It's weird. But yeah, so that's just an update on that. We will keep you posted. I'm looking at it right now, Medical Examiner, at where Brian items were found. So Fox News is all over this. And speaking of the vaccine mandates, I thought this was very interesting. In-N-Out Burger slams San Francisco after city closes its restaurant over vaccine mandate. Now, the quote blew me away, because I think In-N-Out, and you lived in California for a while.
I did. Very good. Little overrated, but very good.
And now I'm going to preface this, because this show is all about controversy. I've only been once, so I don't want to really get people going here, but I didn't think it was that good. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good burger, but it's not something that I would wait in lines of traffic to get.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I would think maybe, I don't want to insult any, but if there's a local establishment here, like, I don't, like Kelly's Roast Beef on Revere Beach is the best roast beef, apparently, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's a good roast beef, but you okay. can get other Whoa. Roast beef elsewhere.
Whoa.
It's that type of mentality is what I'm pointing towards.
I don't like roast beef, but I know for a fact.
No, and I'm not insulting Kelly's. I was just using that as an example.
Don't try to walk away from it. You've made this bed. You will lie in this bed made of roast beef. We are going to get some serious hate from this, and I can't wait. Do you know, Jared, what this is for you? This is your Beagle moment.
My Beagle moment?
I one time insulted the brand of Beagles on Howie's show, and whew, it was brutal. So good luck with that, sir. But no, you're right. It's just, it's okay. It's good. But now I kind of like them even more, because what they said about these mandates, they said, now this is Arnie Wessinger, and he is the business officer at In-N-Out. He wrote, on Thursday, October 14th, the San Francisco Department of Health closed our restaurant because In-N-Out Burger employees were not preventing the entry of customers who were not carrying proper vaccination documentation. Our store properly and clearly posted signage to communicate local vaccination requirements. As a company, In-N-Out Burger strongly believes in the highest form of customer service, and to us that means serving all customers who visit us and making all customers feel welcome. We refuse to become the vaccination police for any government. And Wessinger also noted, it is unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe to force our restaurant associates to segregate customers into those who may be served and those who may not, whether based on the documentation they carry or any other reason. He also said that the requirements were a clear governmental overreach and intrusive, improper, and offensive. We fiercely disagree with any government dictate that forces a private company to discriminate against customers who choose to patronize their business. I am officially an In-N-Out stan. I am an In-N-Out person now, because that is the absolute truth. It should not be up to someone working at a... First of all, do you know how hard it is right now to get people to work at fast food places? To get people to work anywhere, let alone the service industry? And then you're going to start making them ask people. There was a hostess at Carmine's in New York City. She asked people for their vaccination status, and they beat the crap out of her, allegedly. I say allegedly because I don't know the entire story, so I want to CYA there. But it ended up getting physical and getting violent. Why does a hostess need to play vaccination police? If Bill de Blasio cares that much, he could take a break from his gym routine or his nap routine or being driven around in his SUV. And he can check the IDs and he can check the papers, please. But it shouldn't be up to these restaurants. They haven't endured enough over the last couple of months from this nonsense. And now they have to get into these confrontations with people who want to get a cheeseburger and fries and some wild sauce, or what's it called? Animal sauce.
Animal style is the sauce, that the special In-N-Out sauce.
Can you tell I'm not from California? Some wild sauce. But really, it should not be up to them. It's absolutely ridiculous. Hey, Jared, can we do a quick Dear Grace right now? I have a Dear Grace I really want to read because I think it's I think it could apply to a lot of people.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
This is the listen lady.
Yeah, well, listen lady. I got so many problems, I don't even know where to begin here.
All right, so one Dear Grace this week really stood out to me because I think a lot of people could probably relate to it. If you're not familiar with this segment, you can always send your inquiries in to grace@thegracecurlyshow.com and we'll take all of your questions. Dear Grace, any tips on getting out of the post-pandemic funk? I'm always in sweatpants, I'm working from my couch, and I have no desire to make plans with my friends. This is something I think a lot of people have probably felt at some point during this. I have come up with a few ideas of my own, Jared. I would love for you to toss in a couple. My ideas, and I know they're simple, and I know they sound like things your mom's going to tell you. Well, first of all, your mom's probably going to tell you, like, sit in the sun, eat a banana. Those are classic mom things. But mine aren't much better. Go outside. Go outside is always a good idea. Walking outside. Put on some sneakers, walk outside. I'm not saying you got to run a marathon. Just walk outside. You'll be amazed how much better you feel from just getting outside. My other thing, make a list. If you feel overwhelmed, if you feel like you have no, ambition, make a list of small things that you can check off. All right, I got to clean this. I got to clean the dishes. Make a list. You check it off. You'd be very surprised how accomplished you feel when checking off a list. It might sound silly, but it works for me. And that kind of ties in with my last piece of advice, which is start small. I don't like when people say, oh, I'm changing my life tomorrow. You know, I'm joining a gym. I'm eating healthy. Everything starts tomorrow. It's like, don't put so much pressure on yourself. Just do something tomorrow that you didn't do today. Make your bed tomorrow. Okay. That's the good advice. Make your bed tomorrow and check that off your list. But you don't need to reinvent yourself every single day because you're just going to end up feeling like you failed. Now, Jared, passing it over to you.
Well, like you said, with just go outside, go for a walk, whatever, I would recommend in that situation, go to a park or go to a square in town. Go somewhere where there are a lot of people. Take your mask off. Stay in the square with those people and just sit on a bench, sit on a wall or something like that. Sit outside if there's a cafe or something like that. Just sit outside and watch the world going, and that will relieve any sense of being in public. It's almost like I remember I worked with a guy, he had a heart attack, and he was just so conscious and so afraid of everything after the surgery. And then one time he really wanted a cheeseburger, so he just ate a cheeseburger and he was fine. And he's like, okay, that didn't immediately give me a heart attack. And then after that was kind of his
You got to break through. I totally agree. And I think going out and seeing people is always a good thing as well. You know, making friends even is a good thing. But yeah, definitely start small. Try something. And don't be too hard on yourself. I always say my favorite thing. And again, I know I sound like the quotes you see on Instagram. But I always think that the coolest thing about life is that tomorrow you get to start over again and you get to try it all again and it can be better. And if you have the mindset that it might be, there's a good chance it will be. I know it sounds trite, but I believe that every morning is a chance to do something new. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of Eden Pure's best-selling products, and now Eden Pure is offering my listeners a special Thunderstorm 3-pack. One user writes, I'm surprised at how well the small unit works. I noticed a difference almost immediately. Jared, you love this product. I specifically want to talk about how much you love it in your basement because you have those comic books and they can sometimes smell like a library from the 1970s.
Yeah. And, you know, as a good comic book collector, I keep everything bagged and boarded in plastic. But when you open the plastic, great, the smell comes out. So you just plug in the Inpure Thunderstorm, you turn it on, and it immediately starts ionizing the air, which creates that super oxygen, which gets rid of that old library smell. So even though you're enjoying a story from the 1970s, you don't feel like you're in the 1970s.
Absolutely. This is a really great product. It's small, it's easy to use, and it starts working immediately. And that's what I like. When I buy something, I like to see that it's working right away, and you're going to notice a difference almost immediately. The best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which of course saves you time and money. All right, so now you're thinking, how do I get this? Well, you go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and use code word GRACE3. We will be right back, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
All right. And he doesn't come from Scranton. That's like one of the, he lived there for a short period of time before he even knew
it. We're going to move on to the next question.
And the people of Pennsylvania will show you
that. Let me move on to my next question,
gentlemen. They understand.
Biden is going to Scranton today. I think he's supposed to talk around 5 o'clock. That is right. He will be in Scranton, which is very exciting if you know.
They call it Scranton. What? The Electric City. Scranton. What? The Electric City. Scranton. What?
It's going to be electric. I mean, Joe Biden loves to tell stories no matter where he is, but I have a feeling, you know, this is his roots. This is where he came from.
He's showing up towel on, razor blade in hand, ready to go.
Onion belt around his waist. He is about to tell some serious stories, some serious throwbacks, I'm sure. So we have that to look forward to. But that actually brings us to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Steve is coming up in the next segment, so make sure you listen to that. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What will Scranton Joe mention first today? Coal mines, corn pop, his pop, Jill's husband, or football?
We should have done all pops. Grand pop, corn pop, soda pop, pop pop.
Ring pop.
Mom, mom. That's pudding what they pops. Call Jill. They call mom, Jill mom, mom. Mom. I'm going to say.
Dr. Mom, mom.
I'm going to say I'm Jill's husband because he's really been relying on that lately.
I am Jill's husband and his pop are tied at 27%. Coal mines has taken over the lead at 30%.
All right. Well, I wanted to read you guys a little bit here from a editorial from The Spectator. It's called The Sleepwalkers. And I thought of this because Howie mentioned yesterday how there's a lot of comparisons to Jimmy Carter. Some people say they're not fair to compare Joe Biden to Jimmy Carter because Jimmy Carter is, by all accounts, a very nice guy. And from what we've been seeing of Joe, he's becoming a little callous in his old age. Becoming callous might be a stretch. He is callous. But there's also the other point that it took Jimmy Carter a long time to prove to be such a bad leader. It's taking Joe Biden a very short time. So this is by the editors of The Spectator. It is customary for the presidencies to lose vitality and purpose in their last months. It is unprecedented for a presidency to lose its way in its first year. And when it still holds a majority in both houses of Congress. The Biden presidency has donned Jimmy Carter's cardigan of shame in only 9 months, if that is, it ever was the Biden presidency. President Biden is the oldest person to have held the most important office in the world. And he delivers a convincing impression of a man not in full possession of his marbles or his mouth. His days are devoid of official activity. His weekends are long and getting longer. The only reliable aspect of his appearances is that they will not be that he will not take questions and that his exchanges with the press will be erratic. It is now clear that Biden requires a long rest after moderate exertions like delivering a speech at the UN. The Afghanistan withdrawal episode confirms that Biden and his cue cards will not deliver the goods during a real emergency. Now, this goes on to describe how they're pushing this green agenda. It's a huge part of the $3.5 trillion spending bill. And what the writers here are saying is that the Democrats are genuflecting to a base obsessed with visions of planetary disaster and green socialism. While we slow growth and stifle innovation and watch the skies for signs of ecological redemption, America's biggest competitor marches on economically, politically, and militarily. Our leaders are dazed and confused. The sleepwalkers is what they're called. All right, when we get back, Steve Anzoni from Fairway Financial joins us. Do not go anywhere. So much show left and so little time.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
The 2020, when COVID hit, that the supply chains across the world have been disrupted. Even as the sort of work to fight back against COVID proceeded, it was crystal clear that things were not improving on supply chain. People couldn't get dishwashers and furniture and treadmills delivered on time, not to mention all sorts of other things. So why
the
is it...
The tragedy of the treadmill that's delayed.
Right, the treadmill, right, probably.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, so there's new polling out that the economy is the number one issue for a lot of people, and that makes sense. I mean, that's something that politicians have been told for decades, which is it's about, you know, what takes place at the kitchen table, what the household is discussing, where can we spend money, where do we have to save, what's in our pocketbook. And it might seem like it's kind of an old-fashioned thing, but truthfully, when you ask people what's affecting them on a day-to-day basis, people notice things like inflation. It would be wonderful to think that people notice what's happening with the trees and the climate at all times, but most people have to prioritize other things. Now, this administration has been telling us that inflation is transitory. In fact, at one point, they didn't even want to call it inflation. They said it's overheating. That was the euphemism from the Biden administration, or as I like to call them, the Ministry of Truth. So I have so many questions about inflation, about the state of our economy. And right now, Steve Anzoni from Fairway Financial joins us. Steve, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me here. And yeah, you're right. This whole inflation thing, I just call it manflation because I think it was man-made by the administration in place. Why is it that food, clothing, treadmills, okay, I have a very story about treadmills and dishwashers, by the way. I couldn't get one myself. Why is all that stuff going up? Gas, everything. I mean, rentals. I just rented a car. It was 50% more than about 6 months ago when I rented my last car. 50%. Yet your bank account is 0.1, 0.2. That's what's really troubling people is they see this stuff go up. In the 70s, we had inflation too, but we also had CDs at 8, 10%.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now we have 0.1. So what gives there? Is this like a mystery tax? Are they trying to just hit us all with these excessive fees and everything else to try to build up their coffers again to do something? I don't know. It mystifies me to see what's going on and not being reactive of the 10-year treasury going up. Therefore, interest rates should be going up too.
Yeah, that actually is something I saw today on social media, which is there is a mystery element to this mm-hmm. and what's happening here. But tell people, as far as inflation goes, what they can do to kind of protect themselves from some of the negative impacts of it.
Yeah, it's really difficult because most people who are near retirement or in retirement are conservative by nature. And so they have a lot of money, you know, in banks, and you know they want it close to the vest. And so the challenge is how do they get out of their comfort zone, right? And be okay with where they're going. And that's the real challenge today. It's hitting people, and I'm talking to a lot of folks like that. Now, the younger generation certainly has long-term options, you know, with the 401ks and the markets and stuff like that. But for those, you know, at or near retirement, big challenge. A really big challenge, yeah.
Now, as far as last time we had you on, we were talking a little bit about tax season and the IRS. And the IRS has been in the news a lot lately because there was this idea from the administration that they were going to start to be able to track any transactions that were above $600. You know, all those billionaires and trillionaires that are making all those $600 transactions. Now they've moved it back to $10,000 after a lot of pushback. But something you said last time we had you on, which I kind of had been thinking about since you left, you said people don't know enough about how the tax system works and what they can do to kind of make their lives and their money grow for them and make their lives easier. Tell people a little bit about that, because I know, for instance, that especially young people, we just assume, you know, you fill out the boxes, the checks, and then you just send it in, and then you're done, and you're happy with yourself for the year. But there's actually systems in place that you can make this stuff work for you.
Yeah, and you know, I call that the shiny object syndrome, where everyone knows you take a piece of your check, you put it in your 401k or 403b if you're a nonprofit, and that's just the thing to do, and they kind of don't think about it. And you get the deduction for that money now, okay, and then it grows tax deferred. The problem is it grows tax deferred. It's kind of like our national debt. There's a debt there that's going to have to be paid someday. Now, we don't know when the national debt is going to be paid, but we do know when our debt is going to be paid, and it's when we retire. We're going to have this nest egg, but we're not going to be in control. The government is. They're going to own about 30, 33% of your retirement money. So what I like to talk about is tax control. The old commercial, pay me now or pay me later. It was actually a commercial about a Fram oil filter. You can pay me now and do the maintenance, or you can pay me later and replace the whole engine when it falls out. And in this case, we're as a society, we were taught this in the late 70s and 80s when 401ks came out, and the sales pitch was, hey, take the write-off now while you're working so that when you retire and you have less, you won't worry about the tax bracket. The problem is that's not necessarily true, because a lot of my clients are retiring and they're in the same income that they were, and their taxes are the same, if not higher, because one thing leads to another. It's a domino effect. For example, Social Security is a staple among retirees, okay? And there's a tax on Social Security, but it's not published, because it's a different type of a tax. It's called the provisional income tax, and it's based on other taxable income. So if your IRA and your 401k are taxable, then that means that your Social Security check is going to get taxed at a higher bracket. In some cases, up to 85% of a person's Social Security income, which they've already paid taxes on, okay, are going to get taxed again at an ordinary income bracket. I know. I see the look in your face. People don't know. Now, people who retired know, because when I do my seminars and I ask them how many people know about the tax, they raise their hand and I go, how many people retired? Same people. They know.
Oh, but they know, but is it too late?
Well, no. Here's the great part. I've helped people in their 70s reduce or even eliminate their Social Security tax. So again, it goes back to tax control. So we all need to save for retirement. That's clear. Companies are giving up pensions. It costs too much money to have the fiduciary obligation to pay that check out year after year after year, especially when people are living longer. So what they've done is they've incentivized 401ks. We'll give you a match. We'll do this. We'll do that, right? Because at the end, you get a pile of money and you say, congratulations, good luck. And that's the only obligation of the company now. It's not like we're going to give you a check. So you have to do it yourself. Not only that, when you get that, how long is that going to last? What are the tax implications? So what I'm saying is, look, while you're working and while you can afford to, and this is just, again, 30 years or so of doing this, I find that if you can pay a little tax now, then you will be in the driver's seat and you will be in control, and your money will grow tax-free, not deferred. That means tax-free from federal, tax-free from state, tax-free from the government, and under current law, tax-free from the Social Security tax. You could literally have $100,000 of tax-free income and pay zero on your Social Security tax, because this doesn't count towards the tax. I know that look again. But
you're like a magician, though. I don't even know how. But you know what? But you know what, Steve? To your point, though, this is something that you have been doing for a very long time.
That's right.
So
yeah.
People shouldn't feel bad if they don't know all these.
I didn't know. Listen, when I was young, 30, 35, I did the same thing. I did a 401k pre-tax because that's what I was told to do. So now I find myself the last few years cleansing that money by converting it to a Roth IRA. So what I'm doing is I'm saying, okay, I'm going to take a little piece at a time, add it to my taxable income now, pay the little tax now, and then I won't have to worry about it in the future. So that's still an option. So for those of us, and there's, by the way, 90% or more of the retirement accounts out there are deferred. And of course the government knows that. As my friend Ed Slott, who's a CPA, a brilliant CPA, by the way, I listen to him all the time, he says that 401ks and IRAs are the low-hanging fruit for the government to pick. Think about that sentence. And he's right. He's been right. He said the Secure Act was going to happen 2 years before it happened. And then when it happened, they said to people, you can't defer that money at death to your kids for lifetime anymore. Your kids have to take it over 10 years now because we want our money. We don't want your kids to defer it over their life anymore. So they stopped it. And now they're looking at a success tax, saying if you have too much in your 401k or IRA, they might add another tax. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do in the future. Do you? I mean, that's the problem. But if it's all tax-free, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and that is the thing for a lot of people is that you just... Can you blame us for not being very trustful of the government right now? People want to know that they're, just like you said, they're in the driver's seat. All right, Steve, now all of this sounds great, but it's a lot for people to take in. You just mentioned right there one or two options, but there's so many options depending on the people. So, and depending on people's finances and what they want to do.
Right.
Now, where can people reach you? And do you have a special offer for people today?
I do. As a matter of fact, I wrote a report called Three Ways to Control Your Tax Future. So in it, I talk about three very good solutions to consider. Now, like I said, it's not for everyone. The report goes into that detail, but you can get a copy of that free report by going to fairwayfinancial.net or the number, which I don't even know my number. How's that? I mean, I don't know because people do it. 508-552-3230. That's 508-552-3230. And you can go there, give a call, and ask for the free report. It's all downloadable for you, and it'll give you a start. It's something to consider doing. But in my opinion, the bottom line is tax control. If you can be in control of your retirement money instead of the government, I feel, and I'm doing this now as we speak, it's going to put you in a better position to be more successful in retirement.
And you know what? If you download that report or if you give Steve a call, we just had this conversation before you came in, Steve. It's a start. It's a small step, but it could lead you in a good direction. All right, Steve Anzoni, thank you so much for coming in. We so appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you next month. When we get back, we will be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr. So don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
They call it Scranton.
What?
The Electric City.
Scranton.
What?
The Electric City.
Lazy Scranton, the Electric City. They call it that because of the electricity. The city's laid out from east to west, and our public parks and libraries are truly the best. Call poison control if you're bitten by a spider.
But check that it's covered by your healthcare provider.
Jared, you get all the gold stars today for reminding me that The Office has a song about Scranton, which Joe Biden will be in Scranton today. We will get to that in a moment. But first, today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Now, Howie, I know that you're probably excited that Joe might be speaking in Scranton because that usually is a recipe for success. But I have to say, I'm kind of happy that I'll be covering this tomorrow because lately, with Joe Biden's stories about towels and shaving cream and razor blades in hotel rooms, I need a few hours to digest it.
Yeah, it is kind of disconcerting to hear it just coming at you when he's talking about how he had checked into a motel or motel hotel. He couldn't decide which it was, with only a razor blade and a can of shaving cream, but no pants.
And that was when he was 28.
Yeah. And then he was approached by the former governor and the former chief justice of Delaware. And he said he didn't have anything to wear other than a towel. So what was he wearing when he checked into the motel or hotel?
Yeah.
Well, your boy, you're the first Biden in a thousand generations not to have any pants on while I'm checking into a hotel.
And Howie, you're usually the one who's doling out the song lyrics, but I have to say that hearing Joe constantly refer to how he was you know, a young senator, and he ran when he was too young, but then he was able to be sworn in. That's what the entire four-part story was about. He's constantly kind of reminiscing about how he was such a young guy when he won. And it reminds me of this song by John Mayer. It's called Stop This Train. And it's there's a line in it where it says, I'm so scared of getting older. I'm only good at being young. And I think a big part of Joe Biden was, I was so young when I first got elected. I was the youngest guy there. And it's like, at a certain point, I think once you reach 78, you have to let that go because no one cares anymore.
Well, you know, the thing is, whenever I hear someone say he was being urged to run for something, I come to the conclusion that, as Ronald Reagan said of Jimmy Carter, a man will tell you he likes to take cold showers, will lie about anything else. And I feel the same way about when people say they were urged to run for office. If they lie about that, they'll lie about anything else.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. By the way, Howie, earlier today it came out that Ted Sarando said in an interview, he's the co-CEO at Netflix, he said he screwed up when defending Dave Chappelle because a lot of the people at Netflix are offended by Dave Chappelle's comedy special. And I actually want to read you a quote here from him because it's pretty amazing. He said that what I should have led with in those emails was humanity. I should have recognized the fact that a group of our employees was really hurting. Now, those employees organized a walkout today at Netflix, and I have an update for you on the walkout. And this is one of my favorite kinds of protests, is when one group of protesters meets another group of protesters, and the protesters, you know, it's like the Spider-Man meme. Well, Netflix workers are outraged by Dave Chappelle's comedy special, Walk Off the Job. They were met by counter-protesters whose signs say things like, jokes are funny, we like jokes. And they all seem happy.
That's pretty funny. Was that a Babylon Bee type demonstration?
No, there's videos. Yeah, there's videos of real people doing it. But the people who have signs that say jokes are funny, you know what they all have in common?
What?
Some of them don't have masks on. Some of them appear to be smiling. They appear to be, you know, having a good time. I don't think the Netflix employees are going to like this very much.
You know,
that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
Is Ted Sarandos, or whatever his name is, who's the CEO of Netflix, is he going to donate all the money they've made off of Dave Chappelle's special?
That is a good point, Howie.
To the Oscar Wilde, benevolent society?
And you know what the funny thing is, and I'm sure a lot of people haven't seen Dave Chappelle's special, but there's two parts of it that people have been pointing out. One is that this has been a longer news cycle than the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Like, people have been more outraged by this than the 13 dead U.S. service members. And by people, I just mean, like, you know, the woke left on Twitter. And number two is all of these protesters are proving his point, which is hurting people's feelings is more important now than actual events or actual crimes or actual mistakes. That's exactly what they're proving when they walk out of work because of this.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, what did Netflix lose when these people who walked out did walk out?
Oh, the whole factory shut down. Stop the presses! People are taking an extra long lunch break. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. He has so much fun in store. This is The Grace Curley Show.